Vasachas begins, Haloi Vayemahu, Numa Hashem, Havadati, Chachamim, Me'edem, Usvuna, Mehar, Esav. Pasachas of him tells us the ultimate curse. The ultimate curse is to lose wisdom, is the loss of knowledge. On that day, Num Hashem v'havadti, I will bring to an end, I will destroy chachamim, the wise men, me'edoim, usavuna, understanding, mehar, esa. Pasuk tes, v'chatu gibarecha teimon. Chatu means they'll be cut down. Gibarecha, your mighty men, teimon. Teimon is a name of the place. Teimon is another name for Edoim. Edoim has many names. In the Mitzudos Tzion, it says, "Hu Edoim Hayoyshev Bedroima." The south, Timah means the south. Edoim, ancient Edoim, is in the southern portion of Eretz Yisrael. I will cut down the wise men from. I'll cut down a Giborechem Teimon. Leman Yikores Ish Mehar Esav Mikotel, so that it will be cut down a man from the mountain of Esav. Mikotel is repetition. It's not Mikotel, it's also the lashon of Yiktein Yikteleni, Herek. Okay, we'll see in the Mitzudos see David a little more, be able to run through the Pasuk, at least just warm a Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Mechamas Achicha Yaakov Techascha Vusha V'nichrata Li'olam. Because of the violence that you have inflicted upon your brother Yaakov, all of this will happen to you because you're a violent person. You will now be covered with shame. You'll be cut down forever. Okay, so we've gone through here three psukim. Let's now see with the Mitzudos David in much more detail. Pasuk Ches. Bayoy mahu on that day, bayoy boy ha puranis, and day when the puranis comes. Havavati b'chacham lo yischakmu b'tachbulois ha-milchama l'hatzil nafsham. On that day, all of the wise men will cease to exist. There will be no one available in your nation that will have a strategy, a plan to escape the churban that is coming upon you. Usvuna kofaldav b'miloshones puerik repetition. Mehar Esav, Ritzon Loimar, Me Oisam, Shemakar Mach Tzavam, Hu Mehar Esav, from those people whose existence, the source where they've inquired. An expression that the people who are the real citizens of Edoim, Mehar Esav, Kim Yisham Bo, Vinis Pashtu, Barotzois, Uvikrach Gadol, Kehar Esav is the place from where. Kimisham Bov in Ispashtu Barotzes Vrakum, that is where it all started. This is just appears to be an expression. Vchatu Gibodach Teimon Ato Shemakar Mach Tzavcha Me Edoim, you whose source comes from Edoim, Hayosheves Bidroima Shal Eretz Yisrael. Hine Giborecha, you who come from, again, the same idea, that you've been quarried from Edoim, who Edoim is on the southern side of Eretz Yisrael. Hine Giborecha, Yichatu, V'yishavu, B'mulchama, your mighty men will be cut down, you will be destroyed. Laman Yikores, Bo'ofen She Yikores Ish, Me'oisam, She'mukar Machtsav, he's repeating this expression, Me'kar Machtsav, Amhu Me'har Esav, V'tzad Lema, Lo Yishav Me'hem Ish, no, there will be no survivors. Then he says, Mikotel, the second to last line, which is in Lemar, Hakarisa Tia Minahereg, Shayasu Bohem Veloy Shayamusu Al Mitasam. He explains this very difficult word in this context. Mikotel means your death, your obliteration will come through being killed. Loketel is an expression of being murdered, being killed in war. The nation of Edoim will cease to exist, not out of a natural death, but due to a death that came upon them through punishment, through war, through being killed in war.
Violence.
What?
Violence.
Violent, exactly. A violent, so here you're saying very good that the death of Esav will be a violent death, not a natural death to lie down in your bed and just die quietly. Pasuk Yud tells us why this is going to happen. Bavur hechama she'asisa. It's because of the violence that you have inflicted le'achicha Yaakov techase ischa habusha v'tiyah nichrata ad olam v'loy soisif lakum, and you will no longer, you will... You will no longer rise once again. Okay, so now we go. Okay, so this we have three pesukim. Let's read it again very quickly. Three pesukim. We have just chazara, pasuk ches, halev yemachunu mashem, and that day, according to the mitzvot, what are we referring to? We are referring to the milchemes goig umagoig. Those are his. He didn't say those words. Okay, did he? Did he say those words? Goig umagoig. No, he did not. Okay, I thought for some reason he said maybe someone else will say it. But on that day, the day when the war will come upon Edom, on that day, Hashem will remove from them wise men. The significance here is there will be no one around that will be clever and have a strategy to escape the war. That have to overcome the enemy on that day. You'll be cut down. Giboyrecha teiman, you giboyrim who all come from the south. The south here refers to Edom, because Edom was located in the southern portion of Eretz Yisrael. Leman yikares ish mehar esav, so that you shall be obliterated. This is a poetic repetition. Will be cut down so that you shall cease to exist. Mikatel, all of this will come through, as you said, or Blazer said, a violent death. All of the people that will die in this war will die violently. Why? Now Pasuk Yud tells us the reason why this is happening. It's because you have been violent to your brother Yaakov. I guess it's payback day. In the long history of Golus, of what Esav has done to Yaakov, mechamas, because of the violence, because of the theft, the corruption, the terrible things that Esav has done to Yaakov throughout Golus, mechamas for Yaakov, tichascha vusha, you will be covered in shame, and you will be nichrata le'ilam, will be cut off forever. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuches. There is no Rashi on pasuches. Rashi goes to the pasuk tes. V'chatu giborecha teiman, yechatu v'yifchadu lanus al eretz edoim eretz hadoroim. Now notice Rashi is saying something different than the Mitzudas. When it says giborecha teiman, does not mean the giborecha that come from teiman. It means you will run towards teiman. In this war, the war is not taking place in the land of Edom itself that we learned yesterday. It's taking place on some battlefield. And now when the nation of Edom sees it's losing, all of the Giboyrim, the mighty soldiers, are going to flee. They're going to run away. They're going to be cut down. V'yifchadu. They're going to be afraid. Lanus. Okay, there are more sounds here than there are people in the shir. Everyone can please turn off. There are more sounds than people in the shir. This is not. It's not, you know, like I told you. You go into a car. If you drive down the wrong way down the highway, you know, you get a ticket. It's a danger. If you come into this room with a smartphone, you have a duty to know how it works, to know how to operate, have a license to operate your smartphone, to put it on vibrate. Okay, it's not a big chokhmah. It's not a big chokhmah to learn how to operate your telephone, to put the telephone on vibrate. It's just one or two buttons. Please. V'chatu giborecha teiman, yechatu v'yifchadu lanus l'eretz Edom. Then you will be terrified and you will run to flee to the land of Edom. According to the parish of Rashi, Rashi's telling us that you're going to go down to Teiman. You're going to flee to the south where you came from. Leman yikares ish mehar esav miyois nerag kideshi yimoltu, so that you'll be cut off a man mihiyois nerag. Now the reason why Rashi is explaining the pasuk is the reason why you're going to run to Edom down, you're going to go to run to Taman, is so that you should not be killed in the battle. Okay, he's learning the pasuk very different than the Mitsudo Stavit. He learns the pasuk is the reason why you want to flee in this direction is because you realize that if you remain put, if you remain stationary in this land where you are now, you are going to be killed. Some of the mighty soldiers want to save their lives. That's why they're going to run down to the south to escape the battle. The Yoinus interior game, V'yitavrun giborcha, Yosve ara diroima. According to Yoinus, and Yoinus and Targum is translating the pasuk exactly the way the Mitsudos Dov, well, the Mitsudos Dov took his translation from Targum Yoinus, does not learn that you're going to flee towards the south, but it means you're going to be cut down the people who came from the south. These individuals who are going to be killed are members, are citizens of the nation of Edom, and Edom is here being described in this pasuk as the Taman. The Yitavrun, you'll be broken, Giboroch, your mighty soldiers, who are citizens, Yosve Ara Deroima, citizens of the land of the south. Leman Yitakares, Kol Ish Gibor, why? Because Hashem was Goizer, Hashem made a Gzera, that it should happen. Kol ish gibor mehar esav mikotel meroiv hereg sheyovoy aleihem. It's been a gezer from Hashem that every gibor of Har Esav mikotel should be killed, should be murdered in this violent battle. Meroiv hereg, due to the abundance of death that will come upon them in this battle. Why is this all going to happen to these people? So pasuk tells us, "Mechamas achicha Yaakov b'shvil chamash asis liYaakov." All of this punishment, immediately what you've done to Yaakov Avinu, and you have tortured him throughout the long galus. Radak pasuk ches. Haloi pasuk. We do all the Rashi's. Yeah, we do all the Rashi's. Pasuk ches and Radak pasuk ches. Haloi be'edom hayu chachamim uvoy shivam avdo chachmasam. Their wisdom has turned sour. On the day of their destruction, the Giborim in Taman are going to be destroyed. Now he's saying something different than we learned in the Mitsudas. The Mitsudas told us that the Chochmi here that's necessary is the strategy, battle plan. Okay, West Point. We have here the wise men who know how to fight battles, wise men who know how to create weapons. The Chachamim and the Nevoinim, the Tvuna that is discussed in Pasuk Ches according to the Mitsudos, is a Chachma that's very specific to strategy, war planning, war strategy, Department of Defense. That is the Chachma and the Tvuna that we're discussing here according to the Mitsudos, David. Rashi, the Radak disagrees. Radak says, we're not discussing West Point. We're discussing Harvard. We're discussing MIT. We're discussing Yale. Okay, we're discussing Stanford. We're discussing the Chochma of the Umos Ha'olam. We're discussing their wisdom. Chochma Bo'amin Tamin. If someone presents you, tells you that there is great wisdom among the nations of the world, believe it! Believe it! It's a Feresh HaChazal. This Chochma Bo'amim is going to come to an end. When will it come to an end? With their destruction, with their demise. That's what it means. By Haloi Bayoy Mahu, on that day, Nu'um Hashem, Ve'havadati Chochma Me'edoim. Nothing to do with the generals, nothing to do with the Department of Defense and the strategy people who are involved in making these very sophisticated, the generals. We're discussing general wisdom that the Umos HaOlam were blessed with. It will come to an end. And as well, what else will come to an end? Pasuk Tes tells us that Gevura will come to an end. Where did they derive this beautiful blessing of Gevura? Yitzchak. Yitzchak said to Esav, Yalchar Becha Tichya. Now it's very interesting, the contrast. Did Yitzchak bless Esav with Chochma? It seems not. Rashi here is telling this. Radak is saying, is opening up our minds something very, very fascinating. Yit Esav is blessed in this world. We know with Chochmah. We know that. Okay, it says it here refers to this pasuk, and they're also blessed with Gevura, with power. Where did their Chochmah come from, and where did their Gevura come from? So, Chochmah, I don't know. It doesn't say. Gevura came from the blessing of Yitzchak. V'al charbecha sichye, tichye. Through your sword, al charbecha tichye, through your sword you will live. The Chochmah comes from, the Gevura comes from Yitzchak. But the Chochmah doesn't say anywhere that the Chochmah comes from Yitzchak. The Chochmah doesn't say. In any event, on this day, the Chochmah will come to an end, and the Gevura will come to an end as well. Okay, pasuk test. V'chatu giborech of Teman, who b'bnei Eliphaz ben Esav, the giborim will come to an end. This is referring to Eliphaz ben Esav. V'yonesam tergim v'yosvei d'roima. Yonasan Lamani, okay, I'm not sure what he means by that. Laman Yikores Ish Mehar Esa Mikotel Hokel Yisparak Yitin Chasam Bohem. Laman Hashem will bring upon them a chasos. Chasos means terror. Laman Yikores Ish Mehar Esa Mikotel Merov Herig Shayargu Bohem Yikores Kol Ish Mehem. Due to the abundance of murder, of death that will come upon them, every single member of their country will die. Yitargum Herig is kitoil. The word kitoil here is an Aramaic word. That's a very interesting point he's making. It's not a Hebrew word. The word in Hebrew means hereg. Hereg means death. Why then is the pasuk describing the obliteration of Edom described in with Aramaic, not in Hebrew? I don't know. V'cheinim tiktol elo ah rasha. Hein yiktileni lo ayachel. Even if they'll kill me, I will yearn for Hashem. It's an Aramaic word which means death. V'yonesam tekem bedil de yish teitze gavra de veitzurcha, so that a person will be the veitzurcha. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Okay, so we'll leave that for later. I don't know. Pasuk yud mechamas kvar pirashnu ki b'chubin v'yisheni yehiruch adoyim liyishol v'anavi yisnabi shehim asidim. According to Radak, this pasuk over here has come to teach us the future. Ovadia is coming to predict that during the time of the Bayis Sheni, which has not yet happened, the Edom will bring upon Klal Yisrael terrible harm. In fact, they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. That's what the words here refer to. Mechamas ochicho Yaakov. Due to the chamas that you have done to your brother Yaakov, you will suffer shame. V'yakadosh Baruch on page 391 of the very time. V'yakadosh Baruch yipar mechem b'yachvas hayam sheichal l'esem no'ilam. They'll be destroyed, period. V'yachacham Rabbi Avraham ibn Ezra zal peres sha'inyin hazeh b'churban b'yis rishoyin shayu b'nei edem mireim liyishrol b'gloysam al yidei nevuchad netzar. According to him, he learns that this prophecy is not referring to b'yis sheni, it's referring to what Edom has done to Klal Yisrael in the time of the b'yis rishoyin. And what is the difficulty with that interpretation? Because the Bayis Rishon was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel. However, we do know that Nebuchadnezzar hired mercenaries. He could not do the job all by himself. He enlisted people from the world, including the nation of Edom. And here, according to the Ibn Ezra, the Chomos, that Edom is being taken to justice for, is what he has done to assist Nebuchadnezzar in the Churban of the Bayis Rishon. Okay, so we have here in total many perushim. What exactly are we referring to? Are we referring to the Achris Hayamim? Are we referring to the Churban Bayis Rishon? Are we referring to the Churban Bayis Sheni? Each one of the Mefarshim is telling us that Edom will suffer for crimes they have committed against Klal Yisrael in different periods of Jewish history. And of course, Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim.
This is an Avoya which never happened.
This
is not yet
happened. This is a...
No, which is not didn't happen in the previous. And now he says...
He's predicting. Ovadia is speaking during the time of the kings. Ovadia lived... Ovadia lived, according to all of the interpretations, it never happened yet. He's speaking there. If you go to page 915, and now in the back of the Sefer, it shows you when Ovadia lived. Ovadia was very, very early. Look how early he was. He was the very beginning, the very beginning, the first. It's amazing how early he was, the first of the Treyasar. So he's coming to predict things way, way ahead of his time. Whether it's going to be the Chum of the Bayis Rish, the Chum of the Bayis Rish, whether it's going to be Golas, he's coming to refer to events that will not yet happen for many, many years. Before, yeah, okay.
He was
a protege. Very, very early. Okay, now let's see the Malbim. For these three psukim, Malbim on the bottom of page 389. Haloi. Achar sheyitzia masha yikre le'edem koidim sheyavo.
I just thought maybe perhaps since he was a ger that he lapsed once in a while. These are his words that maybe he lapsed once in a while when he was waxing poetic. He used the word.
Ah, he's saying very good. Rabbi is saying the reason why the word ketel. Ketel is not Lashon Kodesh because Ovadia was a Ger Tzedek. And therefore, his language, it was not natural. If he was a Ger Tzedek, he was a non-Jew. So Hebrew was not natural to him. It's something which he acquired later in life.
So he just expressed himself.
It was a Freudian slip. When he expressed himself, it was more natural, his mother tongue.
Now, a Yiddish-speaking person.
Right.
He puts in
Yiddish words.
Yiddish words. It's more dear to
and water. It's Aramaic, so people understood what he said.
All right. So he's using a especially death. Edom. He comes from Edom. Edom specialized in murder. In al charbecha tichye. So he is like a Freudian slip. He's throwing in a word, an Aramaic word, which maybe is more natural to him than Hebrew lashon kodesh, which is unique only to Klal Yisrael. Very interesting idea. Very interesting. Yes. Let's go further.
Because I looked in the Tillim of the Pasek, nobody comments on the word. I wanted to see in Tillim if anybody says the Lashon.
Yeah, no one comment. Okay, let's see over here the Malbum. The Malbum on page 389, 3 Pesukim, Pasekhes, Haloi, Achar, Sheitzia. After the previous psukim, we have laid out. The word yotzitzia means we lay out. We put down on the table all of the gory details of what will happen to the nation of Edom right before the coming of Mashiach. K'moy ma she'nechrav Edom al yidei Nevuchadnezzar. The Malbim is learning that this is a reference to what will happen to Edom through Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, at that point in time, he also conquered the entire world. And part of conquering the entire world, he destroyed the nation of Edom. That's how the Malbim, we learned this last week, the Malbim learns that this Nebuchadnezzar came true at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Because at that same moment in time, Nebuchadnezzar conquered the entire world. Now you have to understand, the Malbim's parish is not conventional, because all of the other Mepharshim learn that this Nebuchadnezzar is referring to what will happen to Edom in the days of Mashiach, in the Melchemes Goig Umagoig. However, the Malbim understands that the Churban took place much earlier in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And so he said, this after we've explained the previous psukim, what's going to happen to Edom in time of Nebuchadnezzar, they are the Hordis, Vechadoime, through Hordis, Hordis was the time of the Bayis Sheni. Okay, so I guess there's also a reference to another second Churban that came upon the nation of Edom.
And,
yeah, he was part of Edom, right? Wasn't he part of Rome? I don't know what he means, sir.
Well, he was a puppet.
He was a puppet. Ali de Hordis. Hordis rebelled against Rome, against Edom.
That's why they killed him. I mean, they wanted him out eventually. He was their butt boy, so to speak. He kept doing with their bidding. That's why he got the job in the first place. And then he fell into disfavor.
And then he tried to destroy them.
Obviously. In other words, they were after him. Eventually, they came after him.
Okay, whatever this means. Yoimar ki kol ze lo yishve el ma sheyia bayoimar hu hanisgor lemaila b'masha amar shmua shamanu me'es Hashem shu be'es ketz ki bayoimar hu v'havadati chacham me'edayim shekol achurbona sheyia lo b'mei ha'beinayim. In the meantime, yimotsu be'edayim chachamim. Let's stop here and explain that according to the Malbim, everything we've learned in the previous Pesukim is describing various churbonos that will come upon Edom throughout history. Now in Pasuk Ches, we are going to describe the ultimate churbon that will come upon them in the Yemos HaMashiach. So, now like other Mepharshim seem to say, all of this is all going to be merged into one major churbon, Yemos HaMashiach. He's not saying that. He's saying over here, there are going to be many churbonos that will come upon Edom. Now we're focusing on the ultimate churbon that will come upon them in Yemos HaMashiach. And the difference is, in all of the other churbonos, they will still remain chachomim. There will be destruction. They will be humbled. They will be reduced from their glory, but they will always remain with wise men. But in the times of Mashiach, when we come to this event that it says Bayoim Hahu Nu'um Hashem, this Churban is going to be different. And the difference is expressed in the obliteration, the loss of the wise men. That's how he learns. In the second wide line, Shekol hachurbonos sheyia loy bimei habeinayim, regarding all of the destructions that will come upon them in the meantime, this expression bimei habeinayim means in between here and there. Yimotsu beedoim chacham, they will still be found amongst Edom wise men. Uva har esav yimotsu nevoinim, and in har esav it's just a poetic repetition. It will be nevoinim, people of intellect. Bechol Eretz Edom. Likewise, you'll also find Yimotsu Gibori Chayil. Aval. But now, when we begin Pasuk Ches, and we describe the ultimate Churbin, Bayoimahu Hamiyoad, on that designated day, Yoivdu Chachomim Michlal Edom, Usvuna Toivan Mehar Esav, Shiir Meshav Haroshel Edom, Shiroimi Ze'erta, it is the small Rome. Okay, we're calling Har Esav. We're calling here Har Esav. I don't know why he says Ze'ert Ze'ersa. Ze'ersa means the small Rome. Rome is the capital of Edom. Pasuk Tes, V'chatu, they'll be cut down. Shi'ur HaKosu V'chatu Giborecha Teimon Mikotel. It's describing their destruction. She'yibol Moirech B'leiv Giborov. They will be overcome with terror. Their hearts will melt. The al yedei kach yikores ish mehar esav ki lo yeh lohem lo etzav lo gevura la melchama. The Malbim, if you notice, is learning the Pshat and the Pasuk very similar to the Mitzudot. That the Chochma is primarily focused on battle strategy. That battle strategy will be lost from them. Okay, Pasuk Yud. Mechamas, why is all of this happening to them? It's going to be punishment because of the violence that they have done to the Jewish people. Be'er, we're coming to explain. Shekol ze yagia lohem al yidei ha-chamas she'osu li'yakov. It's payday. You have acted in a violent way towards your brother Yaakov. Now you will get what you deserve. She'al yidei ze, because of this, Techas chavusha, you'll be covered with shame. Bachurbonoi she'avru, because of all of the destructions that you have done. V'labasoif v'nichrata la'olam bachurban ha'asid she'yel nitzchi. Techas chavusha, in all the various battles, all the various destructions that have come upon you in the past, and now the ultimate destruction in the future, which will be complete. There'll be nothing left of you anymore. Okay, that is the Malbim. Everything pretty much here is pretty straightforward. Let's take a look over here at the Mamar Chazal and Pasik Ches. Pasik Ches, there is no Pasik Ches, Pasik Tes and Yud. Miketel, Mikotel, Nechamas, Achich Yaakov. Begoyim is a very beautiful Chazal. Amongst the Goyim, we have a principle that a Machshava Ra'ah, Hashem views an evil thought as if it was actually done, and they are held accountable, and Hashem punishes them for their machshava ra'ah. By a Jew, Hashem does not punish a person for an evil thought unless he actually does it. Bagoyim among the nations, machshava toiva, with regard to a good thought, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa l'maisa. Machshava ra'ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa. Machshava ra'ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa. How do you know that? Prove it. Where do you find that amongst the Goyim, if a Goy has a kavana to do something bad, Hashem punishes him for his evil machshava? It's this pasuk that we've just learned. Mikotel mechamas achicha Yaakov. It says here in this pasuk, and look what he's doing here. He's doing something, this medrash is doing something that is very, very, very fast. This is not a medrash of Gemara, this is Yerushalmi. What it's doing over here is it's not acknowledging that there is a soif posuk. Okay, this is very unique in Chazal, because we have a Mesorah of where each posuk ends. And it's not so common where we mingle psukim, we make drashas, we make smichus, but here we have to really understand, is this statement that Chazal had a different Mesorah, that the pasuk begins with the word mikotel, or do we say that Chazal had the same tradition that we have? The pasuk begins with the word mechamas. It just happens to be that for the purpose of homiletics, we're going to merge the last word of the previous pasuk with the beginning of the next pasuk. Now, if you take it in the first opinion, they had a different mesorah, it makes it a lot easier. Because if you notice, all of the Mefarshim had a very hard time translating the Pasuk the way we have it. If you look at the Pasuk begins, go back to Pasuk Tes. The Chatu Giboyrecha Teiman. All of your mighty soldiers will be cut down. Teiman was a hard word to translate. Either it meant they will now flee towards Teiman, or means Teiman, the Giboyrecha, who have come from Teiman will be cut down. Leman, so that Yikores Ish Mehar Esav, so that man shall be cut down from Har Esav Mikotel. What does that mean, Mikotel? So all the commentators struggle means due to violence. Mikotel, Kotel is an Aramaic word, and the mem means due to the extreme violence that is coming upon this nation. All of the citizens are going to be wiped off the face of the earth. And then we begin Pasuk Yud, Mechamas, Achir Yaakov. You know why this is happening to you? Because of the violence that you have done to your brother Yaakov.
We have an example of this in the Chumash, by the way, of the next Pasuk being part of the previous Pasuk, and that's between when they asked Hillel about the Karban Pesach. If your Erev Pesach comes out Shabbos, if you bring the Karban Pesach. So he learned the Pasuk, says, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael esav Pasach b'mo'ado. Next Pasuk starts, V'yarbo esar yom b'chodesh. And he said that you bring it, even if Erev Pesach is Shabbos, you bring the Karban Pesach on Shabbos.
B'mo'ado.
Because it says, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael esav Pasach b'mo'ado, V'yarbo esar yom. On the 14th day. He put the next pasuk as part of the previous pasuk. That's what we are told. That he said it, that's the limud. He'll let you continue for the next words. Be, you know, as a pasuk b'mo'ado, be arba'asa. Even if it's Erev Pesach, that's how you read the Chumash.
You still have to bring the Karban Pesach b'moado.
That's drasha,
right? But that's a drasha.
Right,
the smichos. That's the smichos. The smichos, the drasha. But it's not that. But he agreed.
But that's what he's.
So here in this drasha, it says mikotel mechamas. Okay, so he's reading over here to mean mikotel. They are going to be killed. Because mechamas achicha Yaakov, v'chi harogoi. It says he's learning mikotel means they actually kill them. Mikotel means it's not going on Esav. Esav is not being killed. The word mikotel is going on what they have done to Yaakov. Let's read the whole expression. We have mikotel mechamas achicha Yaakov. When you take this expression, these four words together, it means they have actually brought death with violence upon your brother Yaakov. When you learn the pasuk the way we have it, and the pasuk ends with the word mikotel, that means it's going back on, it's part of pasuk tes. Part of pasuk tes means you, Esav, you are now going to die. You are going to suffer death, period. But when you take the word mikotel out of pasuk tes and you bring it into pasuk yud, it means, Esav, you have brought death upon Yaakov. You see what I'm trying to say? What the drasha is? When we read the pasuk, we read the word mikotel to be the last word of pasuk tes. When that it is the last word of pasuk tes, mikotel is telling us what will happen to Esav. What will happen to Edom? Edom will come to an end in a violent way. Pasuk good begins and explains to us the reason why this will happen to them. Nida k'neged Nida, because they did not treat their brother Yaakov properly. But that's not the way the Gemara learns the pasuk. The Gemara learns the word mikotel was not part of pasuk tes; it is part of pasuk yud, and therefore it's interpreted to mean that Esav has brought death in a violent way upon his brother Yaakov. Mikotel mechamas. Hamas means violence. Kotel means death. Achicha Yaakov. The subject is Esav. Esav, you have inflicted a violent death upon your brother Yaakov. Yaakov, Klal Yisrael, does not exist anymore in this world. They're gone. They've been wiped off the map. And you've wiped them off the map in the most violent way. There's a cartel of Hamas, a death of violence that has been done to Achicha Yaakov. They're nowhere to be found. So the Gemara says, what? We're here today. What do you mean? What do you mean that they've wiped us off the map? They've tried very hard, that we do know. And they almost did many times in history. The majority of the Jewish people did not make it into the next generation. 10 times in Jewish history, Arbel Wine says the majority of Klal Yisrael did not make it into the next generation. Less than half of Klal Yisrael was wiped off, and there were less than 50% of the survivors into the next generation. They tried very hard, but the bottom line is we are still here. So what then does this pasuk mean? That's exactly what the Gemara says. This is a proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views the machshava ra'ah of a non-Jew as if he actually has succeeded. And the difference is he will suffer the consequences. Again, inside the Likud Shas, page 389, Mikotel mechamas achich Yaakov begoy machshava tova ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lemaisa machshava ra Hakadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa. How do we know this machshava ra Hakadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa from this pasuk? Mikotel mechamas achich Yaakov, you have brought upon your brother Yaakov a violent death. V'chi harogoi? Did Esav really bring death to Klal Yisrael? We're still here today. Elo, the answer is, melamed shechoshav olav lehorgoi they wanted to. Vehelo olav hakasav ki ilu haragoy, and therefore the Torah in Hashem's eyes, it's as if it was done, and therefore they will suffer the consequences. Arami Ovid Avi, he destroyed. Very good, very good. Arami Ovid Avi, and Arami, he destroyed, he didn't destroy, but HaKadosh Baruch, but since he wanted to destroy, it's as if he did destroy. Very good. Then he gives another example. Kidam Avodav Yikom Binokom. Hashem will seek revenge and exact vengeance for the blood of his servant. We're still here today. And therefore, it doesn't matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it done in their eyes. Harek in his eyes. Harek Kan Shtei Nikimois. So there are two different, this pause is Yikoim V'Nokoim. Why there are two different expressions? Harek Kan Shtei Nikimois. Nokom Al Hadam V'Nokom Al Hechamas. He's saying a new idea here. I'm sorry. I didn't realize we jumped into the next part of Chazal. Let's just pause for a moment and reflect. Okay, just reflect. This is an amazing Chazal because of the connection of the word kotel to mechamas. And I told you, I don't know what the Gemara means. There are two options. It's either, as Rabbi Maievsky pointed out, other examples where we have a drasha, and the Gemara takes a word at the end of a previous pasuk and takes note of the smichus, the juxtaposition, and makes a drasha, puts the two together. But the Gemara does acknowledge that the tradition is the pasuk ends with this word, and the next pasuk begins with the next word. Here, I don't know if that's what the Gemara means, because we do know that the Mesorah we have in our printed editions of Nevi'im and Ksuvim is weak. It's weak. It's not like Chamisha Chumshei Torah, which is strong. It's weak. And when you find the Gemara that makes a statement and just is a read-on sentence and puts Mikotel Mechamas Ochicha Yaakov as one sentence, and when you look at the pasuk, it makes sense. It would make it a lot easier if we would put the dot after the word Esav. Zechata Giborecha Teimon Leman Yikaris Ish Mehar Esav. Period. It makes it a lot easier to read. And then, you know why this is going to happen to you, Esav? It's Mikotel Mechamas Achicha Yaakov. It's because of the death and that came through violence that you have done to your brother Yaakov. You know, it reads better. It's not a perfect, but it definitely is much easier reading if you put the period after the word Esav. And then when you have a Yerushalmi that does just that, you begin to wonder, maybe the Yerushalmi, they had a different tradition as where the end of the pasuk should appear, not the way it appears in our editions, and mistakes have crept in throughout the millennium. It's not such a question. I always say that with the Aleppo Codex. The Aleppo Codex for Nevi'im and Kisuvim, the Parashiyos, Pesuchos, and Stumos are very different than the way we have today in our Nevi'im that we use in the Batei Kinesios for the Haftorah. You go to a shul where they have a set of Nevi'im. Okay, there are 8 Nevi'im, cost about double the price of a Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah has 240 columns. 245 columns in the standard Sefer Torah today. If you buy a Sefer Torah today, a new Sefer Torah, it's 245 columns. There's a new movement where the Seferim are writing Sefer Torah today with 248 columns. They're going to have to soon reprint all of the Tikkun Kairi for the Bar Mitzvah boys, because a lot of the new Sefer Torah today are being written with the new standard. How it took, because they find that it's too hard, especially in Chumash Bereishis, to do the 245. It's a little bit too tight. It's a little too tight.
Every line has the exact same.
It's because of money.
What? It's not because of money.
They're doing it for 2,000 years.
No, they're not. This is what they're doing for 245 is only the last 70 years. It was done by Davidowitz.
No, he means the other way.
Yeah, but
what?
Do the lines the same? All the lines are the same? Or of course you have one word more, one line than the other?
What? What do you mean the lines are
the
same?
The lines he writes.
Everything is standardized. What do you mean the lines? Yeah. Yes. With two exceptions. Oz Yashir is a little bigger. And Azinu.
Okay, but does a Balkaira, I'm asking the Balkairas here, if you have a ticket that is longer than the standard two paper, whatever.
They don't exist. What ticket? We're talking about
ticket. If you have an old ticket, whatever.
An old ticket, what old ticket?
And you say that there is not the way the ticket is.
There's no halacha how it has to be. There's no halacha.
Right,
the ra-
is it harder for the Balkaira?
It depends on the Balkaira. Some Balkaira are mumchim, some are not. It depends.
If you're a kid, it makes a difference.
It depends on who the Balkaira.
So if you have a kid who's coming for you, take the same Tari's lining, you take a picture of it.
Exactly. So today, it's not the old Sefer Torah, where every Sefer Torah was different. Because in Europe, they didn't have a standard. It was not standardized. So everyone did ish hayosha be'enav.
You also had minhagim.
Well, they were different. There was different numbers of lines.
But
if you go to a shul over there on Kodesh, the old Sefer Torah, you'll see almost every Sefer Torah is different. Some of them have the vav ha'amudim. They mark with each line begins with the vav. About 70 years ago, there was a sefer. His name was
Davidovich.
Davidovich. He went and he created a standard. A standard for all Seferim to use. And it was accepted. And for the last 70 years, you can't sell a new Sefer Torah unless your Sefer Torah follows the standard. Why should I buy your Sefer Torah with it's totally different when no one's going to want to use it in a shul? Because the Balei Kriya who prepare to lain, they're used to a certain standard. The tikkun, the kairim, you buy a tikkun in the store, it's standardized. I'm not going to go buy your Sefer Torah. You want to be a lone wolf. You want to go and go do what you want to go do. Very nice. It's kosher. There's no halacha that it has to know. There are certain halachas. There are, but within the world of halacha, there's room for diversity. There's room for But it makes it much easier in the industry. Right. Well, he didn't do it with the computer. He did it. Those days there were no computers. He did it by hand. He created a standard. He was Nifter last year. He was a very, very big Talmud Chacham, and he was a world famous person.
It was a good thing that he did.
What? It was a wonderful thing that he did. He also was Mechadish, how to write the letter Pei. He had certain chidushim in how to write certain letters.
So you spent a lot of time with this.
Which was accepted by the whole Klal Yisrael. And today it's Ad HaYom HaZeh, it's accepted. Very recently, now his standard, what he created for the last 70 years, a Sefer Torah has 245 columns. Okay, that was his what he came up with, how he standardized it, and it was accepted. There are thousands and thousands of Sefer Torah today that are written with this standard. Somehow, I don't know how this happened in the last couple of years. I guess due to computers and all other things, someone came up with a new standard. 248. Three more columns. Not because it's more expensive, three more columns of parchment. It's easier. It's easier. They spread it out a little bit more. It makes it easier for the Seferim to write and easier to read. Okay, what? Yes, it's become very, very popular now. A lot of the new Seferim now are writing 248. And the problem is there is no tikkun on the market. There is no, for a Baal Kriya who wants to practice for Shabbos, there is no printed tikkun on the market in this standard. So a lot of time, what? They will print it eventually. I asked Levitz. He told me, don't worry, very soon it'll come out. Some will come back a few bucks. Some will come back. He told me, but right now there's only 240 the standard. And I know where I daven on Shabbos. They have I think already at least two Sifrei Torah that were donated, and they're private Sifrei Torah that are just being stored and used here in the yeshiva that are 248. And occasionally, Eileen, occasionally, and I get and it's very noticeable. It's confusing. It is for me. I'm not an expert. I'm not a professional. And for me, every little thing that you can do to make it easier makes a big difference. It's not. No. It's hard.
No.
What makes it hard for me is not the top. It's the bottom. It's the end of the column. The end of a column. You get confused. The last lines, because you think it's supposed to already go to the next. It's me. It's other people who are professionals.
It's a very good idea because it makes the Valkyra read from the clap, not to read it from.
Yes and no.
That's one. Number two, the Torah, we make a new chumrah.
A new standard.
This is the Torah.
But this is now going to be the new standard. What are you accomplishing? So in 20 years from now, the only Sefer Torah will be... There's no two standards. It's very clear. There's no two standards. It's very, very clear. It's clear as day that this is the new trend.
It's a trend.
No, this is going to win over. It's because it's easier.
Regulars are all written the same way?
Yes, they are. Today they are.
No,
today they are. They're all HaMelech Megillah today. Everything's a Melech Megillah today. Today it's standardized. You go there, there are stores that sell all the paraphernalia for Sofer. It's amazing. You have to see what they are. There's a Sofer in Tar V'Das, a young guy, and he showed me all the stuff. He told me the store in Williamsburg where they sell, they have these printouts, and there are numbers to guide the Sofer how much space to leave in between words. It's very sophisticated. On guides. There are guides. It is extremely sophisticated how the tools available today for Seferim to write Sifrei Torah, Tzul Mezuzos, are very sophisticated due to technology and due to the fact we live in the global village. Everyone is part of a big team and everyone comes together to do it the same way, which makes it a lot easier and a lot better. And definitely a lot better when there's a standard.
Better.
If I'll give you, let's say a Sefer Torah, you have a cloth, a piece of parchment which is irreparable, because the Sefer made a mistake with the Shem Hashem, and when you make a mistake with the Hashem's name, you can't erase it. So in the olden days, what do? You take out the whole piece of parchment. Where are you going
to
get a replacement?
You're
going to have to write it. That's very expensive to go write it. Here you have, I don't want to mean to be mezalzel, spear parts, since everything has been standardized, so you have Sifrei Torah, you have spear parts and other Sifrei Torah that are not usable, then you can just cut and paste. You can cut and paste. It makes it a lot easier. And also you have Ksav Ari, different types of writing. If everything is standardized, it makes it a lot easier. It makes it easier for the people in the industry, and it makes it easier for the people who read the Sefer Torah. The old Megillus today, you're right, the old Megillus, it was the Wild West. It was the Wild West. Today, the reason why it's not the Wild West is for one very simple reason, as you said, money. What do we mean? What do we mean money? If a server is going to go out on his own and do his own thing, so if he's doing it for himself, very fine, good, do whatever you want. But if you're going to try to sell it, most people who write are professionals. And they do it as a parnasa, and you try to sell. If you're going to present a sofer with a megillah, and you go to a seller, and the megillah is not a standard megillah, no one's going to want to buy it. They're not going to want. People do not want to buy things that are different. People are spending $2,000 on a beautiful megillah. They want a megillah that's standardized.
Some people don't want everything that you have. They want something a little different.
Why would you want something different? Why would you want to spend $2,000 where the Megillah is not standardized? You have a tikkun, it's going to be more difficult to learn how to read it.
I have a Megillah, which is not HaMelech.
Because it's a very old Megillah. It's a very old Megillah, that's right. It's a very old Megillah. It's a collector's item. But someone today who's going to invest the time and effort to write a Megillah, it's very rare for a person who to go invest the time and effort to write a Megillah to go off on his own. Because everything has been done for you. You have a Megillah, they have the sheets, and they have exactly how to write it. And they have also numbers. On this line, you have five words. So the amount of space in between the words should be a little bit less. On the next word, you have fewer words, so make the space a little bit more. There are guides, there are tools. Soifrim are not going to go and do strange things. It's just not worth it for them. That's why today everything has been standardized. There are different size megillas. There's the big megillah. There are small megillas. There's a grand megillah. The reason why we're getting the discussion over here is when it comes to the Nevi'im is a little bit more of the Wild West.
Right.
Because in some shuls, they lay, I tell you, 248. Okay, there are two today, 245, 248. How many columns are there in a full set of Nevi'im? If you want to buy for your shul a whole set of Nevi'im, there are eight Nevi'im that you lay in over the year. How many columns are there in eight Nevi'im? About 500. There are 500 columns. So think about it. If a Sefer Torah has 248 columns, and a Sefer Torah today costs at least $30,000, and most Sefer Torah already up to $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 for a Sefer Torah, and you want to donate to your shul 8 Nevi'im to lay in the Haftarah from Klaf, which has about 500 columns, that's double the price. It's double. To buy a set of Nevi'im costs double the amount of money than it costs to buy one Sefer Torah, because it's just a matter of labor. It's a matter of labor of double.
More than double the labor.
What?
It's more than double.
Why more than double?
Because there are very few people who are used to writing.
What difference does it make? They copy word for word. No. What a Sefer, he knows the whole Sefer Torah by heart, and he just writes it by heart. You're not even allowed to. When you write it.
Before he writes it.
Yeah, so, right? That's right.
So
it's
Shagura Bebib. So when he writes it.
I don't know. It doesn't appear to be that way. Whatever. Now, the point I want to make is, here's the problem. Here's the issue. I just want to make this point for this drasha here. For this drasha. Over here we have over here Mikotel. Over here, the Gemara appears to say that the word Mikotel is part of the next pasuk. And this is a pasuk in Treyasar. Today, there was, in the 80s, there was when the Aleppo Codex went public, they discovered that the Aleppo Codex is not like written, the Psuchos and the Stumos and many other little details of the Aleppo Codex is not like what is found in the Nevi'im that are found in the shuls in all of the Batei Kinyas, the Batei Midrashos. So now when Sofer wanted to write a new Nevi'im, the question was, should we continue doing what we have in Shul, or should we follow the Aleppo Codex? So this was a major, major machlokes in the 80s between the Gedolei Yisrael of Eretz Yisrael. Very, very heated machlokes. Rav Chaim Kanievsky and many in that camp, I don't know all their names, held, you should do whatever is in the Aleppo Codex. Why?
How is this possible?
I don't know. You have to go in the Aleppo Codex. You have to go look it up. Aleppo Codex. It'll be very interesting to see. Do whatever is in the Aleppo Codex. Why? Because he said what we have in our shuls is not for real. It's a very weak tradition. If in the Aleppo Codex it says to make a pasuk psucha stuma, not, or maybe even a soif pasuk, or all these strange things, do whatever it says in the Aleppo Codex. Rav Eliashiv Zechad Levracha and many other gedolim says no. Just because we have now the Aleppo Codex, so what? It doesn't change tradition. We have a Mesoira. Continue doing what you've been doing yesterday. Okay, this is a major. Today it appears in Eretz Yisrael. It's 50-50. 50-50. In Chaim Berlin here on Coney Island, they recently purchased, was given as a gift, a whole brand new set of Nevi'im. 8 Nevi'im. Written according to whom? Tradition or what do you guess?
They don't have a tradition.
What? Not them. The whole Klal Yisrael we're talking about. The whole Klal Yisrael. Okay, they have in the Urn Kardesh old Nevi'im. They were coming to pieces. They were all very, very old. So I don't know how they got there. Someone donated, or I don't know what happened. But the money came in, and they purchased a new set of Nevi'im. Like, so what, do you think that the new set like the olden days, the old Nevi'im that they had in the Urn Kardesh, like all the other shuls? Or was it like what it says in Syria in the Aleppo Codex? Like Rav Eliashiv or like Rav Chaim Kanievsky? So I don't think they knew what they were doing. It's clear as day they had no idea what they were doing. And it just the mazel, they ended up getting the Aleppo Codex. Not traditional. The modern. And that's what they have. That's what they have. And it appears, what? No one cares, believe me, no one cares. No one knows, no one cares, no one's interested. Whatever it is, this is what they have. The Baal Kriya got a little very confused. He saw all these different shit. He had no idea what was going on until he made an investigation. It was discovered that this has been the cipher they commissioned to wrote it according to Rav Chaim Kanievsky's opinion, and not just him. There's a whole collection of their mamish divided. 50-50, they divide all the big names in Eretz Yisrael in the 80s, they divided 50-50. What should the Seferim do going forward? And then he held there's no Messiah, and the Aleppo Codex is the best we got, and follow it. Others said, what are you talking about? Is this what's in the Urna Kodesh from last year? You do what we got. Here is something very interesting. Mikotel sticks out like a sore thumb. Is it part of the previous pasuk? Is it part of the next pasuk? Or everyone on the page says part of the previous pasuk. Chazal make a very significant drasha. In their drasha, they're reading the word Mikotel Mechamos Achicha Yaakov as part of the next pasuk. And it's a whole pshat in the pasuk. And we're learning a drasha. It's not just a drasha. It's pshat in the pasuk. So does that mean that there was a different Messiah where the pasuk should end? I don't know. We have to go see what it says in the Aleppo Codex.
Besides the money, the Nevi'im for the shuls, why would a shul want to buy the Nevi'im if they can't find somebody that knows how to read the...
Well, obviously they do.
It's not easy.
Why? All the shuls that have, they lane. What do you mean? Chaim Berlin, I dived there many years.
Never heard him make a mistake
when he laid the Haftarah.
Small shul.
I dived on Shabbos and Ar Yitzchak. Yeah. There's never a problem. The Baal Kriya, I mean, even the big, massive ones, never an issue. Whoever is laning that Shabbos prepares the Haftarah.
Right.
I mean, it's never been an issue. I mean, sometimes make a mistake. No different than making a mistake in laning the Parsha. They make more mistakes in the Parsha.
To me, it's very hard. All right. Okay.
It's not. The Haftarahs are not all that long. I mean, whatever.
In the Moshe Bolo colony, they bring up, Meryl Feinstein brings up the cloth at Haftarah.
Yeah.
Only
the shuls that I've been in, where they lane, I go to Lakewood, go there. They have the hot cloth. Here's the Baal Kriya. He doesn't make a mistake. He lanes it perfectly fine. Either you prepare or you don't prepare. If you're the Baal Kriya, this is what you do. You do. You don't do. Okay. All I know is I grew up in a world in the Young Israel where it was the biggest bizoyon. I never ever for many years saw. Never a person get maftir who did not read the Haftarah. If you did not know how to read the Haftarah...
Yeah,
with Nekudo. But not everyone, unfortunately, not everyone can read Nekudos either. Not everyone is fluent in reading, even with Nekudos. Talking about adults. It was unheard of. And a person's yard site? I mean, it's expected. It's their charetz. They don't lay the parash, so they lay in the Haftarah from the Chumash perfectly. Then when I was a little bit older, I used to lay in on Shabbos. It was a shock to me where the one who got the maftir, or the gabbai, the one who got the maftir is not going to lay in the haftarah.
Right.
Instead, you read the haftarah. I was shocked. I remember the first time. I was like shocked. And then I started letting other shuls, and then it became the standard. They don't lane all together. They don't. But then I started letting, one was letting it for a tkuf in a certain place where they did not have the cloth, and they didn't even let. They did not allow the one who got the maftir to lane because this week he knows how to read. The next week the guy doesn't know how to read. Loi plug, the Baal Kriya lanes the Haftarah from the Chumash. This is a new thing. Because of that. Yeah. I understand because he grew from a different generation. This is something which is unacceptable. You get the Haftarah. You lane the Haftarah. It's a bizarre. You're not going to let me read the Haftarah from the Chumash? It's a shock. Today, the new generation, they don't have any clue. How this is something which would no one would believe would happen. And now we're at that same place where I used to lay. Now they've slowly, one at a time, people have donated Nevi'im. Now they have the whole set, and whoever lanes is expected to lane. It's a given. When you lane, you prepare the parasha. You also must prepare to lane the Haftorah from the Klaf. Right. So it's not an issue, because anyway you're laning from the Klaf. So anyway, then, but things have evolved, have changed. But Nevi'im, the Nevi'im, the Mesorah on the Nevi'im is weak. It's a weak Mesorah. And here, that's why you find every so often over here things like this, and you begin to wonder, what is the correct Mesorah? Just because you have here dots in a very, in a laser, crisp, clear print, does not necessarily mean this is the correct Mesorah. Through the long years of Golus, the Mesorah, on the way it's written and spelled and laid out in the Nevi'im, has been accepted to be weak. And there are questions. The Mincha Shai, many often over here, the Mincha Shai does not comment on this. There's no comment, which seems to me that it's a given that what we have is correct. And what the Gemara says is nothing more than a drasha, which is a pretty extreme drasha to make such a powerful statement like this. But nevertheless, that's what we have over here. Okay, we'll stop over here.